front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you. In this episode, we're going behind the screens with the mustachioed maestro of the Drupal Prenote. I've been waiting to say that for so long.
Have you been practicing that?
A little bit. Jeffrey McGuire, otherwise known to the community as Jam.
Yeah. Somebody tried to backport my initials to be just another mustache. But I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, Jam, so what are you up to these days?
I have founded a company called Open Strategy Partners, and we're building on my dozen or more years in open source and my ideas about communication combined with the MBA and enterprise and startup experience of my business partner to help technology organizations. So we have a focus on open source touched operations, whether that's an agency or a multinational or an open source product company. We like that, and we help them with strategy, marketing, communications.
So that's not Drupal specific. It's open source of any realm.
Right. So the thing that I've been thinking about really hard and working away at for the last, let's see, I'd say 7 or 8 years is this intersection between open source thinking and practice, right? This upside down backwards land economy where the more you give your ideas away, the more value you get from other people. You know, and the idea, this whole don't compete in IT idea, and all of these ideas are the intersection of open source thinking and practice with business value, right? And I ended up in my job at Acquia doing a lot of translating between technology and business, you know, and helping geeks get connected to the value that they deliver to the customer, not just like coding standards and build the interface the right way to, but like you're connected to a value delivery chain that is making a client, enabling a client to make the world a better place, for example. Like that's a really exciting story. And when you put the whole chain together, you feel much more than just a hacker coder person, right? And by the same token, connecting, helping the business people understand this counterintuitive stuff around open source and why they should share and why they get more out of their investment if they do it the right way and why you need to participate in this stuff. So sitting in the middle of that for a long time has really, really fascinated me.
Tell me about a challenge you've had recently about sharing your IP or something of that nature.
Right, the weird nature of open source business, right? So I am helping DDEV promote their dev to deploy tooling platform. So for me, it's super cool because it's open source tooling. You can take it, you can use it, you can do whatever you want with it. But you can also buy support, use their hosting. And so it's a business model plus an open source model together. Really, really exciting. So they're doing a typical thing where the founders have now brought in some executives to help them build out the business. And I'm helping them as well. And it's wonderful. It's great people. It's a great company. The executives also understand open source, right? But we've had trouble getting agencies to look at the hosting platform because that piece hasn't been open source yet. The CTO, Kevin Bridges, CyberSWAT in Drupal land, he's still putting together the last pieces, making sure it's far enough along for him to feel comfortable releasing it, right? And the problem is not, oh, I'm not going to release my, they're not going to release like the security hardening, for example. That makes perfect sense. And they're not going to release their, you know, secret sauce of performance tuning. That makes, nobody has a problem with that. But for an open source CTO to buy into their platform, we've had literally like, don't talk to me. Where do I download it on GitHub? And I'll talk to you if I want to. And because it's not open source yet and they can't pull it apart themselves and break it and put it back together, they're not comfortable having any kind of a sales conversation. Now, it's about to be open sourced. It really will be open sourced. That's not going to be a problem. But it's really interesting that a classic, someone experienced in quote-unquote classic business, right, would have a really difficult time understanding a sales cycle that involves leaving someone alone and playing with the product by themselves, right? So these are the kind of challenges that get to communication, expectation management, timing, and as a marketer, right, how do I plan a marketing campaign around something, or to people like developers who are, by definition, allergic to marketing, right? That's the space I'm working in. And it's fun and it's cool, mm-hmm. you know?
Ah, that's, yeah, that is a very interesting realm. It's a very, very niche when you're trying to combine so many different points of view into the open source mantra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got a lot of dark corners.
Yeah. So what technologies have you been, like, reaching into other than Drupal?
So I have long had the ambition to do more than I never wanted to be the Drupal guy, mm-hmm. And I had the great good fortune in recent years to get around the PHP community a lot. So I've been to I know a lot of people in Symfony, and I have been on and off a part of the Typo3 community. The Typo3 CMS is a really cool GPL licensed PHP open source CMS that's very, very popular in Central Europe and not very well known elsewhere, and it's really worth looking at. So I'm helping them with that. DDEV is an open source product platform. So, and, you know, somebody just asked me to speak at a WordPress conference, so going back there. I guess my sweet spot is open source plus business somehow. And I'm not, yeah, I don't know. We'll see where it goes next.
What's something big on the horizon that you're looking forward to jumping into or pushing a little forward into with the business? Or is there something bigger on the horizon that you're looking at coming up?
With my business.
With your business.
So we incorporated in October 2017, and we've had our first full-time team member since January, and that's fantastic, and we're running way over capacity. Our clients have been very, very happy with us so far, and we've got four more prospects who've come to us before we've managed to actually market ourselves. So our challenge right now is growing, maintaining content quality and you know, controlling our costs as a business. I've never built a business before, right? So now, luckily my business partner has. So those challenges are really, really interesting to me. Along the way, because we're operating in this, in exactly the world that you know around Drupal, right? I've got I'm part of Drupal Europe coming up. I'm going to be going to the Typo3 annual business conference, probably not the developer conference this year, but I was there last year. I will be keynoting the big annual Joomla conference that's going to be in Cologne this year, and they asked me to talk about you know, what's going on in open source right now, which is really neat, and I'm in this really wonderfully privileged position to be in contact with a lot of community leaders and people who are making open source better for all of us across a lot of projects. And the doors that's opening right now are really gratifying, and I'm really glad to be able to help, you know. And I'm, one thing that I've tried to do for years and years that I used to do in Drupal and now I'm trying to do at a larger level is cross-pollinate. You know, I have a brain for faces and names, and a decent idea, if we've had a conversation somewhere over a beer, I have a decent idea of what you're about, what modules you work on, who you are, what's going on. And over the years, I've connected a lot of agencies with deals and companies with partners and you know, students with internships and people with new jobs. And I really love, you know, finding the synergy between different organizations, different people, and like where they could come together and create more value out of our communities. And I'm doing that at a higher level, and it feels great. It's nice.
That's excellent. So we're here at DrupalCon Nashville, and I participated in the pre-note this year, which you've been organizing for a number of years now with the help of Campbell and a number of others. So why do you keep doing this, and why is it important to you, and how is it for the community? Tell me a little bit about your experience with the pre-note.
I think that was the 18th pre-note.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Cast your mind back to DrupalCon San Francisco. A group from the Acquia support team put together a co-presentation with about 10 different people doing kind of 3 minutes each about different bits of Drupal. As best I recall, it was a very long time ago. So it was this sort of like quick fire introduction to Drupal and DrupalCon session for newcomers. And I moderated that and kept the show rolling, and that was neat. And I thought that sort of a session would be valuable for the community overall. Robert Douglas, who's my best friend and was at Acquia at the time, now at Platform SH, he had the idea that we could kind of combine that with, I think he literally said, like, let's get on stage and tell stupid geek jokes and you know, sing songs. He had the idea to put these two things together. And so over time, the prenote has become the quasi-official conference opener. It's been in the slot right before Dries's keynote for a long time, which is why it's called the pre-note. And we've experimented with a number of formats and made some really interesting discoveries along the way. People love amateur musicians much more than they love amateur actors. Somehow, I don't know if it feels more courageous or, but, you know, so... It's not like a technical orientation to the conference, but over the years, depending on the location and depending on what's been going on in the community, we've taken themes emphasizing open source values, contribute more, or don't forget to, you know, we've given value lessons, like really simplified big statements about why we're here and what we're good for, like introduce yourself to your neighbor and do the funny dance, or so it's a combination of sort of audience participation, songs, often bad jokes, and the songs, the tradition now is to put some number of song parodies. So tunes that everybody knows and can sing along with, but with dumb Drupal lyrics, mm-hmm. right? And as corny and as cheesy as possible, and, you know, talking about committing code. And and my actual formal education is as a performer. So one of our friends in Cologne, somebody who knows Robert and Campbell, who's been my collaborator in recent years on the prenote, he said, yeah, all you musicians, you get into tech, and then, you know, the first time you show up at a big conference, what do? You turn it into a performance. So this year, for example, Chris, you volunteered. We met at an event last year and said, you know, could I be part of that? And yes, and this is the other thing I wanted to touch on, and this is... you know, this is the big lesson of open source. Everybody will welcome your help in every part of every project. If you think you can offer someone and you make a genuine offer to help, they will treat that with respect. It could factually be that you can't help because of real reasons or technicalities or who knows, right? But everyone will accept gratefully your offers of help. And 99% of the time, you know, be glad that you're there and you're going to just be able to jump in and contribute code, contribute guitar playing, contribute whatever it is that the open source thing. And this is how we build community, right? And so the prenote has become this group of volunteers who stand up, goes out and has fun for an hour to open the con. And, you know, I'm incredibly grateful and flattered that it's considered a tradition now. And when they opened the doors of the hall, this year, when we were walking out, mm-hmm. you know, we saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people streaming in to catch us, you know,
being around exactly, in the morning.
Exactly, very, very early in the morning. So, and they got out of bed to do that, too, mm-hmm. so that's cool. And it is, as far as I know, unique to us in Drupal land.
Mm-hmm. Something that'll continue, I hope.
I don't see why not. You know, we got a ton of great feedback mm-hmm. In person and you know, on social media about the one we just did, the grand old Drupal prenote show, right? So the, I guess the other thing we do is we try and tie it to the location or something special about the year, right? So this time we made it a real Nashville thing. It was all about country music, right? In Mumbai, we told a story about outsourcing and did parodies of Bollywood songs, right? And we had the help of an Indian, people from the Indian community to help write that. And you know, in Barcelona, we gave Catalan lessons, and there's always, like, local flavor. There's always something that something new every time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so much fun. I enjoy it, and I'm excited to be part of it next year, too, wherever that might be.
Well, thank you for your help. That was fantastic, right? Your guitar playing and your Garth Brooks impression, that took it to the next level.
Yeah, that was a brand. I can say I've played guitar on a stage in Nashville.
That's
now,
right.
Thanks to that. So you never know where this open source community is going to take you.
Exactly.
So if you were to wake up tomorrow and the internet was gone, which means no more DrupalCons, well, I guess we could still have the conference. There'd just be a lot less computers here.
A lot more paper.
Right. Now, what would you be doing with your time if you weren't working on the internet?
I would probably be playing a lot more horn. So I'm a French horn player and alp horn player. That's my formal education was in music, and I had a career as a musician. And I was successful enough to have a chamber music group that played live on the radio, and we really needed a website, and I couldn't afford something professional. And back in, you know, 2003, 2004, making a website was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Douglas told me about this Drupal thing, right? And fast forward to me joining Acquia Engineering in 2008, you know, that was that path. So I guess I'd be playing a lot more music. It's such a difficult question. Life has changed so much. We're so enabled to communicate and share stuff now, and that would actually be crushing, right? I think I was going to say, oh, I would write more, and but if you didn't have the internet, right, you wouldn't be empowered to communicate.
Right, where would it be published?
Yeah, exactly, right? Mm-hmm. And so
we can take it really deep if you want to, but it's kind of like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be in a place with the internet, I guess.
All right, fair enough. Finally, we've been in this community a long time, the open source community as a whole, and I think everyone who's been here, even from the beginning, has gotten a little push at some point. Is there somebody you'd like to say thank you to or share some gratitude with who's given you a little nudge along the way or inspired you in some way?
Back in the early 2000s, I was working as a full-time musician and a full-time translator, writer, journalist, and working 80-plus hours a week to make ends meet, and I was really stressed and, you know, trying to feed a young family. And that's challenging as a musician. It's, you know, it's fun and it's everything brings joy to the world, right? But it's challenging. And Robert Douglas was like, hey, you like that design stuff. You know, you can do this. Here, this is HTML. This is CSS. Go learn this. Oh, I just found this thing called Drupal. You should check it out. You know, and a couple years of you know, lessons of teaching me at his kitchen table. And I was able to start working as a site builder now, but back in the day we called it Drupal consultant, right? By 2007, I was working as a Drupal consultant, and it's all Rob's fault. Thank you, Rob.
Oh, that's awesome. Jam, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. This was great.
I'm really glad to talk to you. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, it's Nick Switzer from Drupal Camp Colorado. I hear you guys got a camp coming up in August. What's happening with that?
That's true. It's coming up August 3rd through 5th. That's a Friday through Saturday. It's going to be at the King Center Honoraria campus right near downtown Denver. We'll have a day of summits and trainings on Friday. We'll have a day of sessions on Saturday with a great party on Saturday night put on by Atten Design Group. And then on Sunday, we'll have some sprints, hopefully mentored. And we'd love volunteers, organizers, speakers, anybody who's interested in getting involved, please get in touch.
What's the website they should go to find out more?
Website is 2018.drupalcampcolorado.org. We also have a project on D.O, just called DCCO, where you can check the issue queue, see what meetings are happening, and get involved in our Slack channel.
Awesome. All right, Nick, we'll see you there.
Thank you. See you there.